Sorry, did I put more effort into my woo than the Dolphins put into their game against the Ravens?
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to The Blowhole on Finsider Radio. Today it is myself, James Radio, with my co-host, Rob Optimus Prime. Are you still Rob Optimus Prime after that?
I am. I have to be.
Okay. That was by far the worst. I mean, even a 62-7, the Jags game, Marino's last stand. Yeah. This was just as bad.
All right, so
I mean, it was less important, I guess.
If you need to know the Roptimist mantra, don't overreact to week one.
Correct. Yeah, I know all of that. I know all of that. But this was like,
No, sitting through the game was god awful. I mean,
It was like a college football game. It was like Miami versus, like, the University of Miami versus, like, Savannah State or something like that in, like, the 80s.
It was like playing Madden against a teenager. There was nothing, like, it was like they had a different set of rules. Like, they're allowed to do whatever they want, and you're not allowed to do anything.
So, pluses, we are really good at tanking. Like, I don't think anybody's ever been this good at tanking.
I'm still pretending.
Like,
we're
do
not
you think
tanking?
Do you think maybe they can trade somebody like before
that
Sunday?
That cracks me up.
And then maybe bring in like a bunch of new guys like on Saturday.
Well, that's. I mean, this.
Like,
is,
can we do that again this week? I'm asking.
This was like preseason one. This was like preseason week one. This team has not even like. Fitzpatrick was introducing himself to linemen like in the huddle, like, "Oh, hi, I'm Ryan. Good to meet you. Let's go play a football game."
The sad thing, like, the left side of the offensive line was pretty good though. Like, Davis and Dieter and then Kilgore, actually they all graded out okay. It was the right side that was terrible. That was Isadora, and then was it Webb that started at right tackle? It wasn't even Davenport. The guy they got for Tunsil.
I thought Davenport did play.
I think he might have rotated in, but I think Webb started. I don't know. It was by the time I started watching the game, I got there quick. Like I had to drop the kids off, and I got to the bar, and it was already
over.
It was they were just about to score the third touchdown. So it was it was 21-0 as I sat down.
I mean, if we're looking for our new,
and that was literally only like 10 minutes into
if
the
we're
game.
Looking for silver linings, this offensive line is way worse than last year's terrible offensive line, and yet they still, like, Fitz still managed to, like, move around and find people downfield, not just terrible screens that were, like...
Yeah, and I said this before, and I'll say it again. Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback than Tannehill. But he has better pocket presence.
But also, offensively, this game, I mean, I know we only scored 10 and we were never in it, and that was
a
good defense.
Over.
But I didn't hate the way the offensive looked for a week one. Like,
well, we got no running game. Like, I mean, but the game was, they didn't
the
have any chance
over,
to sustain it.
The game was over and we're playing Baltimore. Like, I'm not saying that was good by any stretches. I'm just saying I thought the offense would be as bad as the defense was, and the defense was...
The defense was going to be good. Yeah. We were both on record as saying we thought the defense was actually going to play pretty well.
Yeah.
And, Boy,
were we wrong.
I mean, I guess we probably underestimated how bad, I guess, their front line was going to be, because they changed that completely too before going into this game.
I have to acknowledge, as a Roptimist,
like, the line they had in the preseason was completely different than the line they went in outside of Charles Harris, who looked okay. No, nobody looked good on defense, but I did see him flash a few times. Wilkins, I didn't see at all.
This is what I'll have to say, because as the Roptimist, you know, I went on record last week saying I don't think we're not losing on purpose. You're trading away veterans, making you worse now to get better. But looking at how they played, all of a sudden I'm like, is Nate Orchard like? Cutting Nate Orchard and Tank
Carradine.
I mean, that wasn't really a big salary. Those guys weren't making a lot of money, and it's not like we got anything back. Like, you would think that felt like a cut just to get worse. Those felt like tank moves now after watching this.
Because those guys, whoever was in there, like, was useless. Like, they got absolutely no pressure.
And I'm not saying those two guys are game changers, but like, I think they'd be
solid.
Better than what we had. So
well, that they were consistently getting penetration and pressure in the preseason. I know it was the preseason, but still. I mean,
and it's quite possible in practice and in all the things they didn't rate as well as the guy they kept, and maybe it maybe it was a pure football move. But but I understand the people, the tank people, seeing that and saying that. I get it. That looks like a that there was no reason to cut them. It was not getting a haul of picks like Tunsil, which is defendable in a rebuild situation, as bad as it makes you this year. It wasn't a cutting for salary. It wasn't a dumping Alonso for salary, or if someone gave us something for Jones to get rid of the salary. There was nothing gained from losing those
Tunsil
guys.
Tunsil and Stills make no difference in this game. Like that game, like they don't. They would have made no difference in that game.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say Tunsil made a very big difference in helping us get a better pick from the Texans on that.
Oh, no. I mean, if they had, they played on Sunday.
I understand. I'm being a jerk that, like, a guy being there for, like, 4 days. Like, he actually played well, but then gave up some critical sacks and then a huge 3rd and 10 when they needed, when they didn't. Well, I mean, they almost could have won anyway.
So the scheme, we were talking about this right before we started. The scheme was to stack the box to stop the running game.
Correct. It was the scheme that the Chargers employed successfully in the playoffs.
Correct. And we were unable to stop the run.
And unable to adapt
and unable
in
to defend
any way.
The pass. And yes. Yeah, and no changes were made even when So we were killed by the rookie wide receiver who burned Fitzpatrick. It seemed like Fitzpatrick was Minka Fitzpatrick was the one getting burned repeatedly. I saw Rowe and Jamal Wiltz.
I mean, everybody got a, except for Xavier.
They didn't have to throw towards him. Yeah,
I think he had one target.
Yeah. I saw Baker and Equivon made a few splash plays, obviously nowhere near enough. And then Harris, I don't think they sacked Lamar Jackson.
Oh, I do not think so.
I saw him at least get some pressure.
I don't even think they saw him.
Yeah.
I don't even think they could say for sure it was him because they were so far away from where he was.
Oh man, and and Minka Fitzpatrick was historically bad in this game. Targeted 6 times, gave up 6 receptions, 3 of them for touchdowns, well over 100 yards receiving against him specifically.
Andrews,
the tight end, again, this team still doesn't know how to cover tight ends.
Does not know how to? I don't know what you said.
Whatever, this team still does not know how to cover tight ends. It doesn't matter that the coordinator, the scheme, the personnel, we can't ever cover tight ends. Apparently.
We cannot.
I don't know what that is. I watch a lot of football. Like I watch a lot of other games. I've never seen anything like it. And it's been going on. It's been about like 10 years now. Has it?
Well, especially in today's NFL, when you have these kind of giant but wide receiver tight ends, right?
It's a new breed of tight end, but like this team is single week, every single Sunday, the tight end has a huge game against us. So I don't know. That was whatever. I couldn't have been more disgusted with this team. Like it was funny to the point like where I mean like literally laughing with this. Like there was a few Dolphins fans in front of me at the bar, just shaking our heads the entire time.
By the way, I found a way to. Almost, it's not a pure guarantee, but almost guarantee we will get a win this year.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I think Jets or Buffalo are beatable.
I think we at least, if we don't split with both, we got to split with one. And we'll get into that. I mean, 0-4 after the break.
We're
comeback,
definitely going to be 0-4.
But then then we got a stretch of like 3 of those next 4 are winnable games. I mean, and who knows?
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. So Sunday, this Sunday upcoming.
Oh, no, I'm not ready.
Well, that's we're 18.5 point underdogs as of this morning.
Here's my secret. I don't like Survivor, and I got roped into a Survivor pool.
Yeah.
I'm just going with the Dolphin opponent. It's the right thing to do, but I'm not good at Survivor, so eventually I'll be wrong and we'll get our win. The problem is when they play a team again, I won't be able to use that team.
Right.
And that might be when I get knocked out.
So they're 18.5 point underdogs at home. So if this game was in New England, they'd be 24.5 point underdogs.
I don't know. If, well, yeah. I, yeah, don't, I guess we are getting three
for neutral
three.
Field and then the three for New England. So if this was in Foxborough, we would be let that one sink in. 20 is that the that might be the largest line I've ever heard in an NFL game.
I don't know if it would be only because no, I know
it would, if it's 18 and a half in Miami.
I understand, but I think it's sort of like, and it's almost like it's like exponential when you get up there. I don't think
I mean
think
18 and a half is already one of the I might be the highest line I've ever seen, and I'm it went up because it was 17 I think to start, so like it's people are taking it. I mean they're going to get murdered on Sunday.
I think this thing opened at like 15 and a half or 16. This thing's going to be bet to 19.
Yeah, they're easily going to get murdered. Like, I mean, it's going to be awful.
This actually, looking at this site that we use, it is actually 19 already as of right now.
So I'm at the point where I know that everybody had, like, they're all signed off on this rebuilding. Like the at what point, like as bad as this is, like how bad is it going to have to get for them to start like do you think Flores' job is safe this year?
Yes, I think. I mean,
no matter what. Like, 0-16, and they lose by 30 points every single time.
Yes, that was the whole point of his deal, was like, we are not going
so?
To win in the first 2 years. Yeah, they gave him extra years on his deal than a normal coach's deal. And there's word that this is not his, this is from Ross. Like, don't win in the first 2 years. Like, or the first year. Well, here's, I don't think there's time for this segment, but if this team is bad enough that unless there's a dude they really love and it's a good quarterback class next year, there's no guarantee they even go quarterback.
No.
They need pieces. They could load up on the line and this and wait. Sort of similar to the Browns waiting on when everyone thought they needed to take a quarterback and they ended up taking some that with the nutbag late, but they passed on a lot of good guys and people are like, what are you doing? They're like, we're loading up, we're not ready to put a quarterback out here in a terrible team. So
this is what I don't get. Like, this is, I guess, and I do want to talk more about the Sunday game, like, and preview that, but what I don't get about this whole situation is, like, why waste the pick on Rosen? Like, why trade the pick for Rosen if, like, it's clear that,
well,
like, you're not putting him in any kind of position to succeed. Like, you're not, like, you're, what did you do that for?
Well, one, to see. You
to see,
see
what? You're not, you can't see anything with this. Like, this is not,
they have
you're not
practices.
Giving him a chance.
They, no, but they can evaluate whether a guy is good or
listeners,
not.
Listeners, you cannot physically see my eyes and how hard they rolled
they
on
heard
that.
It.
They heard, that's how loud my eyes rolled on that
yes.
one. No, there's no point. There's in practice, you're going to know if he's a good quarterback.
I do not think they are trying to lose every game.
I just don't under, like, what did, why even bring Rosen in here? Like, he's not even, like, it's a, now you wasted the pick to get him, even though we thought it was a great deal, but, like, there's no reason for him to be here. He's not in any, like, this team's not going to succeed.
Here's,
if you're not putting him in a position to succeed, like,
what
are you doing?
They're not planning, because, as I just mentioned, they're not looking to take a guy next year. This isn't a tank for Tua or a help me Herbert.
So
or
next
whatever
year
they are.
Is Rosen?
Next year, Rosen plays with a little better team and gets a chance to prove himself. And again, if we end up top five pick, Rosen's out.
Trevor Lawrence in 2 years.
If we get a top five pick, then Rosen's out. If he gets us to 8-8 or whatever, then Rosen maybe gets to stay, and the later picks go to build the team around him.
I just,
but it's impossible to say this because we only have the lens of a week one shellacking that can't be overblown.
Correct.
We have to see, and again, even
well,
these
we're
first
about to see
four
another,
games.
We're
I
going
mean,
to see another one on Sunday. These,
well. There's a chance.
They're not going to lose 59-10 on Sunday.
I think the we always beat them, you know, we're 5-1 against them in Miami.
Oh, they're going to destroy us
on
Sunday.
I think that means they only just beat us handily. That's our victory, is just being beat handily. And it's possible Belichick likes Flores enough to not keep the throttle down and maybe only wins by 17. That's what I'm saying. It's like,
this is so sad. So anyway, all right. So first Sunday. So the Patriots are coming in here. They destroyed the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are a much better football team than this Miami Dolphins.
And again,
team on
they
Sunday
own
night.
The Steelers.
Sure, it's, but they really
they
took
did,
it to them.
But they own the Steelers, and it's early. Like, who the
it
hell
is
knows?
Early?
Just remember, The Ravens destroyed the Bills week one last year. Like, almost a similar shellacking. Like a crazy... Was it in the 50s to 2? Or it was like a...
I don't know. It's because Peterman threw, like, 7 interceptions or whatever.
And then the Bills... And, you know, they turned it around. They ended up beating the Vikings a couple weeks later. I'm not saying that's in store, but I'm saying... I understand it looked like a team that was trying to lose. This is not a team that's trying to lose. This is a team... This is week one of preseason. Fair. These guys are fair. Just thrown out there.
Fair.
But the Patriots are going to beat us.
Yeah, so they're coming in here.
The optimist says we are going to lose.
So when we last left you last weekend,
we're going to win.
Antonio Brown had just been released by the Oakland Raiders. I don't remember if we actually said it on air, but you jokingly said that he was going to go to the Patriots, and immediately after we finished the podcast, he signed with the Patriots.
So what you said is nobody in their right mind is going to go near this guy because he's insane.
Correct.
And I said,
because I believed the whole dog and pony show.
I said he's too talented not to have teams call.
No,
I
but
said,
what ended up happening makes me think that this was staged from the beginning.
Absolutely staged.
Yeah.
He even hired like a social media coach on like, how do I do this? This they wouldn't trade him to the Patriots who tried to get him.
Right.
I think once he got to, I don't know if the whole plan was there, but once he saw how bad the Raiders are, he's like, I want no part of this.
I don't think the Raiders are that bad.
Well, they looked okay, but I
don't think he ever wanted to go there.
I don't think he did not.
He wants to win a Super Bowl.
He wants to win a Super Bowl, and he was on track to until again a new development in this ever going saga.
Oh, we'll get
that
to
I don't
that.
Even want
yeah,
to touch, but we'll have to mention.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So he ends up signing with the Patriots. So he is playing on Sunday from all accounts.
It's not. I mean, it's not 100%.
He's practicing with the first team all week so far. As of yesterday,
he might get put on the exemption list because of the other issues.
Yes.
They don't.
So
they don't need him.
Other issues for those of you that have been living under a rock was he was accused of sexual assault.
Yes,
with his trainer. Three counts. Kind of a bizarre story. I'm not going to touch on. I don't want to do the he said she said thing. That's not. This isn't a legal podcast. But just seems odd. The whole thing. Everything about Antonio Brown to me since. In the last like 2 years has been very bizarre.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it looks, I mean, I think I would, if I was going to put money on it, I'm going to say he's going to play. The Patriots are, don't care.
They also don't need him. So
they don't
if he wasn't, if they wanted to wait before putting him in or even try to keep it as quiet while stuff goes, they can say we're waiting. I mean, they can beat us without him. So
yeah, but they're fine. They employ, you know, cheaters and sleazeballs and criminals and murderers all the time. So I'm sure he'll play on Sunday.
Sleazeballs? Do you have any proof of that?
No hard evidence. You're right. That was a little harsh.
All right. I mean, anyway. Cheaters and murderers, yeah. So that's on paper. That's proven.
Fair. So my prediction for score on Sunday is, so it's 18.5. I'm going to say, I say they cover.
So
I think it's 38 to, that wouldn't be covering.
That's insane.
Yeah.
This is insane. The over under is only 47.5.
It's 18.
Which means this is with a 19-point spread.
Yeah. So Patriots 38, Dolphins 17, and if they score 17, that'll be amazing. So, and that means the Patriots cover, because that's more than 18. Yeah, I can do math.
38-17. Yeah, but what if it's 35-17?
Then it's closer, yeah. And they cover.
Well, it's 35 to back.
You're right. They're not gonna kick any field goals. it's gonna be all touchdowns. It'd be 42. I'm saying 38-17. And I got their 10 points right when we picked the score last week. I said 27-10. I was off by almost double. Actually, more than double. 59 points they scored, Rob. 59 points.
Yeah, but I mean, they had the highest rated quarterback ever in RG3 going against us.
That was another thing too, like the fake punt when it was like 35-3, and then like the, and then going for it on fourth and goal at the two. I was like, man, this really is like Madden. Like I was wondering, like, I don't really have a problem with it. I mean, I was like the fake punt. I was like, what the hell, man? I was like, come on.
It's annoying, and I don't like it, but it's one of those like.
At the same time,
it.
It's like, yeah,
they're allowed to do it.
I know, right?
I don't like it, but
I'm more mad at the Dolphins for sucking so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do you think for Sunday score prediction? You think they cover? You think they can be within 19 points of this team?
I do.
That's good.
But I mean, I'm thinking like 42-24.
They're not going to score that many points. The Patriots' defense is awesome.
One game.
All right. Fair. Okay. All right. So 42-24. Does that cover? I don't know.
24 is 44, so 43. Yeah, it covers by one. It's like it's a seven. It just gets in. It's 18 points.
It's 18 points. All right. Okay, so we're in agreement the Dolphins are going to get murdered on Sunday. Are we at break time? Is it 20 minutes yet?
Oh, that's a good question.
Anyway, I had jokingly texted Rob on Sunday night that we should be Saints fans this year because maybe we can turn this into a Saints podcast.
We are a whoever's playing the Texans fans. I think we might have to have a how's our draft pick segment.
Yeah, that sounds good. That is true. All right, we will be right back after the break. And we're back. So one last thing we wanted to touch on about Sunday's game. There's like I said, no real positives. I thought Devontae Parker played well. Preston Williams had a great touchdown catch, but I mean,
Parker fight for a ball in a regular season game
a couple times. I mean, the one for sure, the big play, the deep ball was that was great. But let's talk about the running back situation. I mean, there was really not a lot to be seen here. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping to see more of him this year to like get a better understanding of whether or not he could be, you know, an NFL quality, you know, bell cow type of running back. I don't think that's what he is. Drake is the most dynamic player on this team, but he had absolutely no chance on Sunday and didn't really show any of that. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like we learned absolutely nothing about either one of those guys on Sunday. Do you have any kind of take?
So I'm still, that's the thing, because I rewatched the game, or at least the first half of the game, like on the condensed. No, just to.
That makes sense, like as a.
Before, you know, the pick and you know, that didn't help, like obviously we couldn't stop them. So that puts that kind of pressure on an offense that makes it fall apart. But the first few drives, even though they didn't amount to points, they were like, you know, we were moving. Like
a little bit.
Like I liked the way, you know, Fitz was moving around. You know, I thought his throws looked pretty good. Even when guys were covered, he's Fitz. He's not afraid to throw into double coverage. Yeah. But he's got guys. Maybe that gives Parker the confidence, knowing that ball might come when he's not 100% open, makes him say, I have to go get it on every play. You know, maybe it helps. I don't know. Balazs, you know, they had a couple of screens and maybe one run each, but then the line didn't give him any chance for running, but you also game script gave him no chance for running. But I mean, there's those times Balazs has those runs where he gets that lane and he gets some speed going and you're like, this guy's amazing. And then there's other times where you're like, oh, you didn't even try to move.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, I don't feel like we got
I have no read on Balazs. There are times where I'm like, you know, this guy.
No, this game did nothing for me, like, to help in that aspect. So, anyway, hopefully next weekend we'll at least they'll be a little bit more competitive, and we'll have more things to talk about from a Miami Dolphins standpoint. Things to be hopeful about. Not a lot to gain from last Sunday.
I will say, I benched Lamar Jackson because I didn't want to have to root for him, and that did not help me in fantasy.
No. But you started Wentz, and he had a really good game, too. But
12 points less.
Yeah, 12 points.
Granted, I lost by more than that.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter.
So let's go. We're going to take a look at this Sunday's games. So
well, this week's games.
Yeah, we've so already. Oh, yeah.
We'll start with tonight's game,
tonight
the Bucks and the Panthers.
What is the line?
The line is an even 7. This is Bucks at Carolina. Mm. Obviously, Carolina giving away 7. Carolina looked good in the loss, even though Cam did not look good.
I think the Bucks can looked cover. Awful. I like Carolina to win.
So this week 2 is fun, right? Week 2 is how much do you believe of what you thought before the season started, and how much do you believe of your week 1 overreaction? Because Winston was awful. But Winston will look awful and might look good the next week.
Exactly. I watched a lot of that Bucks game, actually. The running back looked pretty good.
Ronald Jones.
Yeah, he was terrible last year.
He was one of the biggest busts last year.
And their defense looked okay. I mean, the 49ers scored 31 points, but I think like 2 of them were on pick sixes.
Two pick sixes.
So, and Garoppolo looked okay. I mean, not good. The Bucks defense actually looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I say the Bucks cover. I like Carolina to win, but Bucks cover.
Yeah, I don't feeling unstrong enough to go against it. I would probably.
McCaffrey looked like McCaffrey on.
Yeah, McCaffrey's, but he's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he really is.
I actually had him had him ahead of Kamara in drafts, like in rankings for me. He was my clear 2. Oh,
Kamara looks great too, but
he does. But just game script, like they don't trade. They just give him. He's just 100% of the time.
Yeah, he's their whole offense. That's not going to be sustainable for him, by the way, I don't think.
It shouldn't be, but it was last year.
Anyway, so what do you think?
It's a game I don't want to touch. Gun to head, I'd probably go with the Panthers because of how bad the Bucks looked, and the Panthers are home coming off a loss that they could have won.
Oh, I'm sure they win.
I know, but so it's not one that I'm putting down, but
okay.
I kind of go against.
All right.
So here, this game hurts my soul. Because it's the Colts at the Titans. Titans just getting the home 3. You know, giving the home 3. These are two teams that I like as underrated teams. These are teams that I normally will pick, especially after the way the Titans looked last week.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
Overreaction theater.
Overreaction theater. No, but they're a solid team. They're like that...
Hey, I picked up Delanie Walker again. I love that guy.
they're a solid... good team. They never not a great team, but a good team. But I think they're undervalued, like by Vegas or by the national public.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So this is tough. It's in Tennessee.
3-point game.
It's 3-point game. I feel like this is almost like I'm probably going Colts just because I don't see one of them 2-0 while the other one's 0-2.
True. The Colts played very well in San Diego last week.
The Colts
they had to come
are good.
Back. If Vinatieri doesn't miss all those kicks, they might win that game.
The Colts are a good team. And I think the Titans are a good team. I mean, I think I'm not saying great, but I think these are good teams.
Yeah. I mean, the Chargers are a good team, and the Colts played them tough. The Browns, I don't think, are a good team. And the Titans destroyed them. 3 points. Give me the Colts. I like the Colts.
Yeah. Where were they there? Okay. This line baffles me insanely. So it almost makes me afraid. But it's the Chargers at the Lions. The Lions getting 3 because they're home. But.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the Chargers are a vastly superior football team. They don't travel all that well.
Dome. I'm all over the Chargers here. I think that's insane, that line.
Yeah. Yeah, Chargers.
All right. This is another line that baffled the hell out of me. I know. I
mean, week 2 is always like the weirdest week, though.
And that's true. And Vegas knows not to overreact to certain things. And we don't. So this one drives me crazy. And maybe because I think the Bills are better than they are because I have Josh Allen in almost every league. But the Bills at the Giants. What would you think the line would be on this? Bills at Giants. So Giants home.
Bills at Giants. I'd say Bills by 3.
1.5.
Okay. I mean, that's...
I think that's crazy low.
I don't think they're that much better than the Giants, to be honest.
I think the Giants are terrible, and the Bills are bad. / can be good, like, depending on the, you know...
Sure.
On Josh Allen overthrowing by 20 yards or 5 yards.
The Bills are going to win. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Barkley goes absolutely bonkers in this game.
That's true. And maybe that's the key there. But
yeah.
To me, the Bills do have a good defense in general. And so I don't know that one.
I don't think the Giants are as bad. I mean, they Dallas really did take it to them last week, but
I like Buffalo in that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Buffalo.
Okay. This one's here's your overreaction theater. What do you do with the Arizona Cardinals traveling across to Baltimore at home, showing off their shiny new toys to the fans? 13.
Baltimore.
Baltimore's favored, by the way. I'm not sure if you knew that.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think Baltimore wins by at least 13.
You know what? I want to watch this game.
Me too.
But
because I want to see, like, I think it'll be a good measuring stick for how good Baltimore is.
And, well, the Cardinals. I mean, the Cardinals, you don't know. They played a bad Lions team and had
they were getting killed. Yeah. That game was looking how I thought it was going to look, and then Lions gonna lion.
So yeah, I'm with you, Baltimore. Although, you know, who the hell knows with week two, but that's that. So we got next up is we already spoke about the Patriots at Dolphins 19. Oh boy. All right. Dallas going to Washington. Washington getting 5.5.
So Washington looked good last week.
For a little bit.
For most of that game. Even it still was close.
But did they look good or did Philly look bad?
A little bit of both.
I like Dallas.
I like Dallas, too. I think Dallas is a very good team, actually. I think they're going to...
Yes.
I think it's the NFC this year, I think... I mean, barring injury, of course.
So, here's a fun one.
I like Dallas more than Philly.
So...
In the East.
Their offensive coordinator...
Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it Moore? Kellen Moore?
Kellen Moore, correct.
He was basically choice number 1B... to be our coach, wasn't he, with Flores? At least like that.
I didn't
was...
even hear Kellen Moore's name.
Oh, was it not Kellen Moore? There was somebody from their team that from the Cowboys.
It was their defensive coordinator, I thought, or defensive backs coach or something
I thought it was Kellen Moore, so I'm not going to say anything because I could be completely
wrong.
No,
it wasn't. It was a defense. It was another black guy. I can't remember.
Oh, come on.
What? No, I didn't mean it like that.
I know.
I didn't mean it like that.
Sound right.
I guess, yeah. I didn't mean... Well, anyway.
I know.
Yeah, another African-American coach.
You're right. Maybe it wasn't him.
Yeah.
But I think they're finally doing what they're supposed to with that offense, like throwing it down. Like that offense looks great.
Yeah. Okay.
So, okay. We both like the Cowboys. So we're not getting very different here. This is a game I don't like at all. Jacksonville with that quarterback whose name I can't remember goes to Houston.
Oh, they just traded for Josh Dobbs, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that. By the way, do you think the Dolphins called and said, what do you give us for Fitz? In a weird way, I kind of feel bad for Fitz. He could be backing up Brissett or starting for the Jaguars right now.
Yeah.
And that's just 1 week,
yeah.
Which means before the trade deadline, I'm not surprised. If somebody else goes down and somebody says, like, we'll give you a 3 or a 4.
Shudder.
We might... trade Fitzpatrick. If it's around the time they're thinking of putting Rosen in, I'm just putting it out there that
I don't know what they'd get for him.
I'm saying if like somebody goes down,
yeah,
3 or 4?
I doubt it. You think so? I think a 6, maybe.
Six? I don't know if it's worth it for that. Okay.
Yeah.
So 9 points, Jacksonville at Houston.
Wait, Houston's favored by 9?
Yes. Because Jacksonville doesn't have
Jacksonville doesn't have a quarterback. Oh, yeah.
The guy looked good, but it was the Chiefs, and the Chiefs never saw him and had no tape, and Chiefs have no defense, so I got to think.
That guy looks like, what was the guy's name in Dodgeball? The Ben Stiller's character? White something? I can't remember. The villain from Dodgeball. I don't know if you guys remember that movie or not, but anyway.
They're not as old as you.
No, probably not. But anyway, give me the Texans in that one.
Yeah, I don't love the 9.
I don't either, but...
And I'll be rooting against the Texans heavily all year. Let's go Jags.
Yeah.
Win one.
Yeah.
Win one for the...
But are you taking the Jags?
No.
Okay.
But I'm not...
I don't think we've disagreed yet.
We haven't. So there's a couple I could come back to.
Okay.
That I'm waffling on. What do we got? We have Seahawks traveling across to the Steelers. I was a little surprised by this line that the Steelers are giving their -4.
Oh, it's Steelers.
it's I think some of that is 1 o'clock Seattle traveling, you know.
Yeah, Seattle wasn't great at home against Cincinnati.
Yeah, but the Steelers were awful.
Correct, which means they're. I think the Steelers are at home. I think they're.
I'm all right. So we'll differ on this. I'm taking Seattle mostly because if I picture it in my head, I can't see this game being more than a field goal.
What's the points?
So it's four. So you get Steelers minus four.
Yeah.
So it's really that four that's making me do. Seahawks feel like a field goal team.
They're a good team. Right. The Seahawks are a good team. I think the Steelers. I think it's like a 24-20 or 24-17 type game.
Right.
24-20 wouldn't.
I'm thinking 24-21.
So. Yeah, I see what you're saying. All right. Okay. Next one.
All right. So 49ers at Bengals.
That's weird.
Who the hell knows with both of these teams?
And it's in.
It's in Cincinnati. Cincinnati is giving two, so they think Niners are one better.
I will say this. The Niners defense is legit. Like they have D Ford and the other Bosa brother who were consistently generating pressure in that game that I was watching. Now, they also have other guys on the defensive
Mixon
line that are good.
Was a little banged up. I don't know if he's...
Correct, the running back for Cincinnati because he is my second running back in fantasy football. Yeah. And yeah.
I'm going with the Niners.
Yeah, give me the Niners. Yeah. All right, next.
Vikings at Green Bay.
Ooh, what's...
Just the three, the home three. Green Bay given the home three.
I like the Vikings. I like the Vikings.
I do like the Vikings, and I've been burnt going against them, but I'm going with the 10 days off.
You're going with
the
Packers.
I'm going to take the Packers just because they're home.
I got Vikings plus three. Okay.
Oh, this line. Why is this line crazy low? Chiefs at Raiders, 7.5.
Because the Raiders didn't look that bad.
I know, but
their defense looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I mean, Flacco is terrible. No, Flacco is terrible. Flacco is a. I was texting with a Ravens fan throughout Sunday. As you know, of course, he's going to be texting me. But I was asking him about like Flacco. Oh. He's like, I'm rooting for Flacco, but he's a check down machine. Like, and this was before I watched him just check down.
Gosh. He actually threw a lot of nice passes deep to that Cortland guy, Cortland Sutton.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he threw some great passes.
I like the Chiefs. The 7.5 is short week for the Raiders, even though they're staying home. The Chiefs, I mean... I'm taking the
it's
Chiefs.
It's in Oakland, though,
it's
right?
In Oakland. It's 7.5. I'm taking the Chiefs. It's one of those, you know, I could see, you know, Oakland, it's conference game,
all right,
division
I'll take,
game.
Give me Oakland. That'll be our third one. I'll take Oakland plus 7.5.
All right. New Orleans. Oh, God. I don't even want to hear the word pass interference ever said ever again. New Orleans Saints... Los Angeles
Rams.
Did
you see everybody in the crowd was all, they were all dressed up as referees. That was so awesome.
McVay even came out and he's like, yeah, we know it was pass interference, guys. What do you want me to do? He's like, but there were like 19 plays that happened after that. There was still a game to be played. Yeah. Yes, we got a call.
So Saints, wait, at Rams or Rams at Saints?
Saints at Rams. Rams minus 2.5. Wow, 52 over under. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I think the Saints win this game.
This is that makeup. Like,
I just feel like they. I don't know. Like the Rams. I knew the Rams were going to. I took the Rams last week to win in Carolina, and I watched a good deal of that game because it was on the TV right next to the Dolphins game.
And did they cover?
They did, actually.
Okay. Oh, that's the one game I won.
Yes, correct. So the Rams, yeah, and they're obviously a good football team. They won the NFC. They went to the Super Bowl last year. I don't think they're going to be as dominant this year. I think they looked beatable on Sunday.
I like the Saints also.
I like the Saints in this game. I think the Saints are the better team. And I do like the Saints.
Oh, God. This one, I don't understand why this... I'm surprised by this line. Both teams, Bears at Broncos. Both teams lost 2.5. Broncos plus 2.5 as home. That makes sense. Okay, that makes a little more sense.
I don't think the Bears are as good as people think they are.
I well, I thought the Broncos were going to have a good defense, and I'm still going to think that, even though they didn't look good against Oakland. Playing at home against Trubisky, I'm going with the Broncos. But I'm not a Bears believer. I really don't think they're good. I know their defense is great, but I don't think that... And I know they can...
Well, this is the... So the Bengals... The Broncos head coach is Vic Fangio, who was the Bears defensive coordinator from last year. So
he's seen... knows what Trubisky can and cannot do. Run. Cannot do. Throw.
Throw. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the Broncos.
Yeah, I'll take the Broncos.
Eagles at Atlanta. This is...
That's a good game.
Atlanta plus +2.
Atlanta really disappointed
me. Atlanta looked terrible. I thought they were going to be good. Yeah, I said on the podcast last week, I think they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
And...
I still think they might be. I mean, it's week one. They had the talents all
talking
there.
Talking to your Joe Mixon, I have their Atlanta's running back who did
Devontae Freeman, yeah. So they... Minnesota's good, though. Like, so let's...
Yeah, I think but the Eagles are also good.
Correct. Where is this one? It's in Atlanta?
In Atlanta.
And they're giving... They're getting two?
They're getting two. Atlanta's getting two. I mean, Philly's a better team than Atlanta before the season started, yeah. You would say. I'm going Eagles. Just
all right.
I'm overreacting. I'm playing into the overreaction from Atlanta.
I mean, I'm going to take Atlanta, but I'm not going to do it. We have our three. Yeah.
Now, are you ready for? Oh, and that's Sunday night. Monday, Cleveland Browns at the New York Jets.
What a dun 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 dun!
Boy, I hope there's a good Grey's Anatomy repeat on. Jets.
Dun, dun, dun,
oh, no. Dun. I've got a typo on here.
Well, Darnold's out now.
This has them both listed as minus -3, which makes no sense. So.
I think we pulled up these lines before the Darnold information came out. So Darnold information just dropped. He has mono and will not be playing on Monday night. And will probably miss a couple weeks is what it says.
Oh, did it really? Oh, he's out?
He's
already?
Out. Yes, he is out for Monday night.
So Jets are plus +3. I just refreshed this. I don't know.
Their backup quarterback is one Trevor Siemian.
Ruled out due to mono. Oh, my God. That's insane.
Is this in Cleveland or in New York?
This is in New York. All right, so this is Browns. The Browns are minus -3. I know the Browns look terrible.
The Browns are not a good team.
I think the Browns are
We both thought they had a good offense, and I still think they might have a good. And I thought they actually have
They have talent everywhere. I don't know if their coach is a good coach.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Nobody does.
One week, but still.
But this is. I think the Jets.
Jets aren't good either.
The Jets are not good, and Darnold has flashes, and with Trevor Siemian. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Anun was out. They just traded for Demaryius Thomas.
He's done. If he can't catch on anywhere, that guy's done. I mean, he was a great player, and he's not a great player anymore.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter. Honestly,
a decent game.
The guy to look for, like, fantasy-wise, as a late sleeper or whatever, is actually Crowder on the Jets.
Because
he's playing Jarvis. He's Jarvis Landry in that Gase offense, where he's gonna have 10 catches for 70 yards.
Yep.
You know, every week.
Yep. So I like I think we both like the Browns in this one. What a great Monday night football game that is. Anyway, all right. So we like we both like Cleveland. I guess so. Our three games for this. Oh, recapping last week, Rob won 2 out of the 3,
which is insane because I really felt like I was made some terrible.
Well,
picks.
I took the Lions who lioned, and then I took the Chargers it was a 6.5 point spread. And won by 6.
I like the points in that. So yeah,
and then I took the Rams, which I was right on the Rams.
Barely. I mean, they were honestly, all of those were crazy close.
They were all pretty close games. So anyway, so we got I got the Steelers, Vikings, and Oakland for this week. Oakland with 7.5 versus Kansas City, Vikings with 3 at Green Bay, and the Steelers giving away 4 at home to the Seahawks.
And we'll come back with Fantasy Camp, believe you beat me.
It's an exciting recap that we have. So many fantasy points. Stay tuned. And we're back.
Woo!
So we're going to recap our fantasy camp. This is a new segment this year for the Blowhole. So just...
This is the worst game ever.
Oh, no. This is actually really fun, I think. So basically, we're since neither going into the season, and we talked about this last week for those of you who didn't listen, we're playing this game, Fantasy Camp, where we pick fantasy football teams based off of the Dolphins' skill position players, because we don't know who's going to do what. Like, that's how little we know about this team. So basically what we're doing is each of us drafts two wide receivers, a running back, and a tight end, and then we are going to tally the scores. Last week, Rob had the first pick, and he went with Albert Wilson.
What a great idea.
So then I had two picks in a row, and I went with Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki, and that brought...
Oh, you didn't take Ballage?
I didn't take Ballage until after, because I knew I wasn't going to... He was... you weren't going to take him, because you'd already taken... Or no,
no,
wait.
You took Ballage before I took Drake. I think you took. I thought you took Ballage in the second.
I can't remember.
Second pick, because I was shocked by it.
Yeah,
you did Parker Ballage, and then I went Grant Drake. No, that doesn't feel right. Who knows? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the order it happened. What happened is you had a better team, even though your team was terrible.
Because the Dolphins were filled with Dolphins. Awful. Yeah, exactly. Both of us were awful. But so Rob ended up with Albert Wilson, Jakeem Grant, Kenyon Drake, and Troy O'Leary. So he had a that got him a total of 6 fantasy points. two from Wilson and 4 from Drake.
It's PPR. It's PPR, but you know, 1 point for 15 yards receiving. We're using these insane scoring system from the league that James set up that we both play in together.
The scoring is awesome. Anyway, all right. So I ended up with 15 points. Devontae Parker had 8. Allen Hurns had 2. Kalen Ballage had 1. And Mike Gesicki had 4. I went with Hurns over Williams because I thought I didn't know how much volume Williams was going to see. Neither one of us, Preston Williams was the Miami Dolphins' highest scoring fantasy player because he got the touchdown. So he would have had 10 points and neither one of us had him. So this week, since Rob picked first last week, I get to pick first this week. And I'm going to pick my favorite Miami Dolphin, Devontae Parker.
Nice. Man. This is crazy.
So 2 picks in a row for Rob now.
I can't believe how much thought we actually have to put into this. But Gesicki was the only tight end to catch a pass. I feel like I almost have to use an early pick on him.
On Gesicki, because he's, yeah, because
I would not have been surprised if you took him first only because of the advantage.
Right.
Of course, O'Leary will get a touchdown. Like, he'll have one catch for a touchdown. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to take Gesicki.
Take Gesicki?
And I'm sticking. Oh, this sucks because then you're going to get. And I'm sticking with Albert Wilson.
Ugh. All right, I'm going to go Drake.
Oh, you're going to the other side of this now.
Yep. And Preston Williams.
Damn. So what do I. Do I just have the.
You got a wide receiver and. You got Ballage, obviously.
Ballage, and then. So what did we take? So it's between Grant and Hurns.
Or was there anybody else?
I'm going to take Grant. I'm going to stick with my wide receiver duo.
Because they were so potent last week.
Oh, and my name, we are the Fitzmagics.
Oh, yeah, and I'm the Chosen Rosens.
and our battle is as exciting as theirs.
I don't know if it's Durham Smythe or Troy O'Leary, right?
Yeah. We might actually, depending...
I'll go with O'Leary.
By the way, depending, we may... I'm going to put this out there if you agree. If Gesicki's the only one who gets a catch, I vote we combine O'Leary and Smythe as a against Gesicki in future weeks.
Okay.
Or we keep it the way it is and he becomes the first pick just because it's 4 free points.
The rest of the tight ends. Okay. That's fair.
We'll figure it out. Fantasy Camp featuring the Miami Dolphins is definitely a work in progress. We're going to play it as long as it's fun. And yeah. So far, it's fun.
Even though there were like no fantasy points at all last week. So my whole strategy last week was going after... I thought Gesicki and Parker were likely to be the ones... Or Ballage were the likely ones to get touchdowns. Like, I thought they were... like if they were going to score a touchdown against the Ravens, I thought it was going to be one of those guys. This week's kind of the same thing. I guess I didn't.
Would you have taken Williams over Wilson if they were both on for you?
Honestly, probably. I liked Wilson a lot last year, and I liked Grant Gase's offense. Yeah. Like, it seems like they don't seem to value them as much. But I don't know.
I didn't run enough plays or whatever. So correct. We'll see. I think I'm going to believe that they're going to use those guys because of their speed somehow.
That was another thing, too, with just how bad that they were and how bad the game flow was. I feel like we didn't really learn anything about
correct this because it was preseason week one.
Yeah,
I am treating these four games as the four preseason games. Mm. They don't count to me. This season doesn't start until week five. So I am not going to make any grand predictions different than how I came into the season until after the bye and we play mediocre teams.
I just didn't know if we were going to see, because like the Patriots offense is a lot of timing, a lot of pacing, you know, timing throws, screens, short passes, you know, and then they'll switch to like power run and then they'll take their shots downfield every now and again. We just didn't see anything like that. And correct. I didn't know what this offense was going to look like. And honestly, I still don't really know what this offense is going to look like. I saw Fitzpatrick took a couple shots when the game was already over.
Yeah. Well, he took some shots and he took some shots.
Yes, correct. The running game did nothing. I saw nothing in terms of screens. And that's another thing, too. Like, if you don't have your this offensive line's not set up. Like, you can't be running those because that takes cohesion and practice, which...
This line literally just came together.
Oh, I know. Like the day before.
Yeah. This is.
And they weren't even. The sad part is that's not even the reason they lost. Like their offensive line was bad, but.
Yeah, no, but the defense was the reason.
The defense was. I mean, the fact that the defensive line just came together the day before was I think, the main reason. And
now they were going against a team probably designed the worst. Or the best to beat, you know, like that's a good offensive line that can run the ball. And now all of a sudden a guy who can take the shots deep and the fast one. I mean, that might be the worst offense, this defense combination. That was words made no sense.
I think
you know
I know what
you're
saying. Like the worst possible matchup for this defense.
Yes,
it definitely seemed like it. I mean, they didn't stop them. They think they forced one punt, two punts, but one of them was a fake.
Now, we're not going to be
able... And the one punt they forced, they muffed.
Yeah, I mean, it was gross. Now, yeah, we're not going to be able to get to Brady, so he's going to have a field day back there, whether Brown plays or not.
Yep.
Hopefully, our DBs play better. We won't... You know, have as many guys on an island. Although,
I feel bad for the young guys, like, because I feel like they're not going to get a proper chance to develop. Like, you're like Rosen, Wilkins, even Harris to some extent. Like, they're not going to get the chance they need to develop because this team is too bad.
But I think by week five, week six, I think that the team will have learned a little bit, learn to play together, get some schemes. And I think that I still think they're going to win some games.
Did Robert Gamdici make the team? Is he on, like, IR? I mean, he didn't play. I know he's not in football shape yet, but, I mean, he's on the team, I think. I think he's on the roster.
I don't remember him not being on the roster.
I mean, he's another one that's, like, a young guy that, like, you know, has a lot of talent, got injured, was completely out of shape from what I understand. He definitely didn't play on Sunday, but I don't know. I feel like the Orchard and Carradine moves, like, I'm like... How, like, why keep Equivon if, like, you're not going to keep those other guys? Like,
well, I mean, Equivon is starting.
No, I know, but that's the thing. Orchard and Carradine were the same types of players.
I don't
know.
They're
older. That's... Like, I mean, it's like Equivon's like, I mean, Equivon played in the CFL. You know what I mean? Like, so
yeah,
he's
to
like
have
27.
One of those. Oh, can we pour one out? Can we just say, how nice it was to see Cameron Wake get his 100th sack and a safety?
Oh, he did? I didn't see that.
Yes.
Oh,
He had two sacks against the Browns. One was a safety. He was a monster. Like
he is a monster.
Yeah.
I love that dude. One of my favorites. One of my favorite all-time Dolphins. But no, I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, so frustrating. So, Yeah. So there's, I do feel, and I mean, we kind of saw, by how bad this team was, and Minkah Fitzpatrick was awful on Sunday, and I feel like that's just kind of like a product of like this team being so terrible that it's going to ruin some young, talented players. Like, I feel like that's how bad we are. Like, I don't feel like there's rebuilding, and then, but you still have to like develop the talent. Like, you still have to have guys around them that can play. You know what I mean? And I don't know. Like, I just, this, I know, all of this feels wrong.
Let's not play the overreaction where the whole media, all the fans are all up in arms. I think that's the worst you're going to see. It only gets better.
You're right. I don't think they give up 60 this year. I don't think so.
Well, I won't say that, but if we do, we'll score more than 10.
I don't think they're giving up 60 this year.
It gets better. By the way, the Ngamdichi, however you say that, he's on the pup. They put him, like, they signed
so
him.
So available
him
right to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but he's another one that's a young, talented player. I would like to see them at least be put in like positions to succeed, but it just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't seem like it's the right, I don't know.
I feel like we're going. Yes, I understand. Watching that game, it looked like nobody knew what they were doing. Every coach and coordinator was terrible. Every player was terrible. Like, there's nothing good. And with the narrative coming in, yes, I get it. It looks like a team that was trying to go 0-16, but I don't think that's what happened. I think this is just a week one, played a terrible matchup for week one. A fact that this team is put together on the fly because we don't care how many games we win, but we're still trying to win the games when we play them. We will be outmatched talent wise. Hopefully, we won't be outmatched coach wise as often. As badly as we were in week one, and I still think this team can win 3 or 4 games. Yeah, I'm doing it. 3 or 4. I'm saying I'm not overreacting to this.
Okay. Who do you think? I was going to say we go down the schedule and pick who the one team is that they're going to beat, because I think they only win one.
Again, Jets and Bills.
Jets at home.
Jets and Bills, I think they might split with at least one of them, if not both.
Yeah.
Especially if that Jets game is against Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that. We still have like Bengals and Redskins, and like there's teams that are, you know, there's,
yeah, those teams are much better than us though.
Week one. Those are not these are teams that I don't know if they're much better. Yes, they looked much better than us last week.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Saints are my favorite team this year.
I'll tell you what. This week the Jags are my favorite team.
No, the Dolphins are still my favorite team. I'm just
whoever's playing the Texans, we might get 1-2.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
What? How about 1-5?
That'd be great. 2 top 10 picks would be fantastic, but we need and I don't want him to get hurt, but we need a Deshaun Watson injury for that to happen, I think.
Well, here's the thing. They are playing in the toughest division. There's not a bad team.
The
in
most
that
competitive
division.
Division.
Yeah, yeah. Well, top to bottom. They don't have the best team, but the Colts, the Titans, and the Jags, I guess, without Foles is, but again, so you know, if they end up 3-3 or 4-2, all of a sudden, you know, they've already got the loss against the one NFC. They're playing, so that means if they're playing they'll also have the Bucks and the Panthers and the Falcons, which doesn't sound that scary right now, but again, it's week one. Those are decent-ish. It's not a terrible, terrible division. And I don't know. We're gonna play. As the season goes on, we're gonna be looking at their schedule also, especially if they struggle. We expect them to win against the Jags at home this week. But who knows?
So, what do you think about the Spider-Man leaving the MCU news?
I don't understand why people can't understand how to divvy up like $1 billion.
Yeah,
like $1 billion every time you make a movie. Like,
well, they had, I mean, I don't know, like they had a deal in place. Like, I don't understand why Marvel like wanted to change it. Like, just keep the deal. Like, you're fine.
I agree. I felt like
everybody's blaming Sony. I'm like, no, this is Marvel's the one that
I feel like Marvel's the one who screwed it up. And maybe they're like, hey, we're worth more than this. Maybe they want to reopen negotiations, but I think the way they did it, I feel like it's a Marvel thing. It's weird because it seems like they're setting it up for him to be the linchpin of the next Avengers type thing. Like he would have been, he's Marvel's most popular.
Correct. He's always been.
Yeah.
Spider-Man has always been.
But I'm saying like now it's set up with no Iron Man, no Captain America. I mean, like the next set of Marvel movies would have been based around Spider-Man playing a big part.
So they still have Thor. They're going to do, what are they doing? The Eternals, a Fantastic Four and X-Men are going to come. I'm imagining that's probably going to
sure.
be.
But,
and then
I mean,
Black Panther.
But those Black Panther and the Guardians. But those other ones you mentioned, those might be Disney Plus shows for all we know, as opposed to movies. Like, I don't think they mentioned that they're definitely movies.
Mm. The Eternals, I think, is going to be a movie.
No, I mean the X-Men and the Fantastic Four. I mean, I would imagine them being movies and stuff. But
they're totally, yeah.
But I mean, that's far enough away. I mean, they already have planned out this next batch of movies.
Did you see Far From Home?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was very good.
I really liked it. I thought that was actually my favorite Spider-Man movie, I think, of all of them. It was really good. And the way it ended, like, it actually kind of, like, and, you know, spoiler alert for those of you that are still listening to us. Like, the way it ended, I actually thought it, like, it was, like, if there was gonna be a break, like, you know, between the two.
How can you make a break there? That changes the whole.
Well, now in the MCU, Spider-Man's. Like he's
burnt.
He's a villain. Yeah. Like I guess like he's just out now. So like, but in Spider-Man land, like they can like Sony can actually take that and run with it.
I don't know. I think that's terrible.
Oh, I do too. I'm not happy about it.
I still think they'll get a deal done.
Even after they said there's no deal.
Too much money.
There's so much money.
Let's go, Dolphins!